Okay, so what I want to spend our time on tonight is the mitzvah of Heseba. We're rapidly approaching the Seder. And at the Seder, we know that we have a formality. We have a mitzvah. The Mishnah tells us again, I put in the WhatsApp group the source sheets you should have access to, both the halachic part and the hashkafic part we're going to look at together tonight. And the opening source is the Mishnah on Psachim. It's the opening Mishnah of Arvei Psachim, the 10th chapter of Psachim. And it tells us, Erev Psachim Samach Lamincha L'Yuchal Adam Atshatech Shach. On Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat. A person shouldn't have a full meal. The Rashbam tells us the Hidr mitzvah of matzah is that you eat l'teyavon. A person should preserve and maintain their appetite. You can't have beautiful mitzvah. When Rabbi Sachs was here, he should be well, gesund and stark. When he was here earlier this year, he spoke about the mitzvah of Hidr mitzvah. Sometimes Hidr mitzvah can be beautifying the object, but sometimes it's a stira mineu bei. It's a contradiction to have a beauty in the object. So matzah is lechem oni. By definition, matzah is supposed to be the bread of a poor man. You don't have beautiful poor man's bread. So how do you fulfill Hidr mitzvah? Where can you express the beauty of the mitzvah when the object can't be beautified? You express the beauty not in the object, but rather in the gavra, in the person. That's why the Rashbam says that not eating Erev Pesach, building up your appetite, the excitement for eating matzah, is the Hidr mitzvah of matzah. That's number one. Number two, afilu ani shebi Yisrael yochal ad sheyasev. Even a poor indigent person cannot eat until they do haseba. We spoke about last night in the Shabbos Agadol Drasha, and we provide everyone four cups of wine. Why would I have thought the poor person doesn't recline? Why would I have thought I don't need to provide? Tomchei Shabbos is taking care of so many. One cup of wine is good enough. Why would I have thought they don't need four? So Tosfos here in source number two says, Sakadaitach de Sebas Ani Luchashiva Seba, Dein Lo Aman Lahase, Vein Zaderacheris. Because it's a counterfeit inauthentic expression. When a wealthy person, when a comfortable person leans, reclines while they eat, that's a demonstration of freedom. It's a demonstration of royalty. But who are you kidding? Some poor person who barely has food to eat? Upon what will they recline? And who are they fooling with their reclining? So Tosfos says, I might have thought that that's not called a seba. Tosfos says, maybe the mission of this part is going on the earlier part. Even the poor person who hasn't eaten, not just for hours, but for days, also needs to wait to preserve their appetite to eat the matzah l'tayavon with a sense of desire. So Tosfos clarifies, I might have thought the poor person, nah, who are you fooling? You're going to recline while you eat? You don't look wealthy, you don't look free, you don't look like royalty, no matter what your posture is while you eat. Comes along Tosfos and says, no, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Even the poor person needs to only eat while reclining. Now the truth is the Rav Yah, a famous Rav Yah, Rabbi Eliezer Alevi, one of the Balei Tosfos, the Rav Yah writes, today people don't eat while reclining. Today you don't lie on the couch. Maybe if you're quarantined, maybe you're socially distancing, maybe you've become a slob, you're wearing the same thing, you're hardly grooming, your hygiene is terrible, and you're lying on the couch stuffing your face. Maybe these are unusual circumstances. But regularly, today, no wealthy people, no royalty eats while reclining, and therefore the Rav Yah says perhaps this halacha no longer holds. The notion that you should eat while reclining, which is a rabbinic command, traces itself back perhaps all the way to a medrash. The medrash says on the pasuk, Vayasav Elokim Asa'am, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Almighty took us out of Mitzrayim, He led us out. Mikan Amru Rabbo Seinu, Shmos Rabbo, Perachof, Afilu Ani Shev Yisrael Lo Yochal Atche Yesev, Shekach Aslam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shneemar, Vayasev Elokim. The Medrash tells us, don't read it that Hashem led us out in this way, but read the Haseba as He caused us to recline, even while we were on the run, while we were being liberated, while we were fleeing our oppressors from Egypt, we ate while reclining. Some understand based on this, that the notion that we eat, we drink the cups, at least the first two cups while we recline, we eat the matzah while we recline, we'll talk about momentarily, perhaps some eat the whole meal while reclining. This reclining might be a fulfillment of Pirsim HaNes, that just like we have other Nisim in the past, other miracles that happened, we reenact them, we publicize them, we express them, we promote them, we want the world to see, the way in which we're eating might be a fulfillment of publicizing the miracle. Could be Pirsim HaNes, could be Zecher L'Nes, Nafkamina might be this Rav Yah, and women, the Gemara says chashava women should recline, other women don't recline. So it depends whether pirsamane zechalanes, are you actually publicizing? Is it commemorating publicizing? It's not what I want to spend my time on. I want to share with you simply the Briska Rav, Rav Velvel's insight into the mitzvah of Heseba, a very interesting chakira, and I want to share it very briefly with you, because I want to use it as a springboard to get into a thought I had today of perhaps another meaning of Heseba, a very deep meaning, a meaning that resonates very much for all of us as we're feeling so dependent, as we're feeling so vulnerable and fragile, as we're hearing more news of people in our lives who are affected, and with all of the precautions that we're taking, nevertheless, understandably, feel worried and threatened ourselves, perhaps the mitzvah of Heseba can give us some chizah, can give us some strength. So what is the nature of this mitzvah? Tosfos, another Tosfos, source 5, writes, Kol dalad kosa tzrichem Heseba b'shash shtiyah. Tosfos is of the opinion that all four cups require leaning. We lean to our left while we recline. The Gemara says, if you lean to your right while you're drinking, you might come to go down your windpipe, not your which one is it? The food pipe? The esophagus? The windpipe? I muted all you doctors. It'll go down the wrong pipe. You'll have to call your GI and you'll have an emergency. No one wants that. So you lean to the left, not to the right. It's not a hashkafic comment. Don't get too excited, anybody. It's not a reflection on a community or an individual. It is a health precaution, which direction one should lean. So Tosfos is of the opinion that you lean, you recline while drinking all four. What happens if you forgot to recline while you drink the first cup? You make kiddush, you're so excited, you're at the table, whether you're by yourself, whether you're with family, but it's Pesach. And all of our worries will be suspended, we put them away, in order to experience a sense of freedom. Freedom from the bondage of worry, uncertainty, doubt, what we talked about last night. And you're so excited that you make this kiddush. You make this kiddush. Kiddush, by the way, I'll throw in a little bonus vort for you. The word kiddush, we don't say kiddush. The first of the steps of the Seder is not kiddush, it's kadesh. Because the first thing we do that evening is Kaddish. We sanctify ourselves. We make ourselves holy. We elevate ourselves. So you're so excited, Kaddish. You're making Kiddish. You sit down and you gulp down your delicious, incredible wine, a portion of which sale went to support Tomchei Shabbos. But you forgot to recline. Now you finished your first cup and you realize you didn't recline. What do? Do you have to go back and drink a cup again, this time with reclining? Or do better next time? But you drank the cup, you missed the opportunity, nothing you can do. What is the halacha? Tosfos leaves it as a tzarachiyin. Tosfos has a doubt, but it ends up, it's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh, sources 6 and 7, a debate between the Rambam Maimonides and the Rosh Rabbeinu Asher in his commentary on Pesachim. Let's start with the Rosh, source 7. The Rosh writes, Itmar achi kulu bo eseba, umatza bo eseba, b'kizayis rishon, u'kizayis shalafi komen. He says, we drink the cups while reclining, we eat the matzah while reclining, and we eat the afikomen while reclining. V'imachol b'lo haseba, says the Rosh, but what happens if you forgot? You drank and you ate and you forgot to recline. Could easily happen, particularly if you're alone this year and there's no one to remind you. I, in my house, it's notorious when I lead our Seder, I always remind everyone before each of the four cups how much they have to drink, how they cannot talk or interrupt till they drink it, and how they should be drinking it while reclining. Same comment I give, the same announcement, public service announcement before the matzah. So this year we're vulnerable. It's easy to forget what happened. Says the Rosh, lo yatza. Kedar v'shua ben Levi, hasham ha-sha'ocha gizayis matzah k'shu mesav yatza. Mashma, mesav in lo, mesav lo. So he says, if you ate or drank and you forgot to recline, you're out. You got to do it again. And what's his evidence? He quotes a later Gemara. The Gemara there says, let the waiter who wants to eat matzah, the waiter only fulfills the mitzvah of eating the matzah if they recline while they eat it. But if they fail to recline while they eat it, they didn't fulfill the mitzvah, you got to recline again. So the Rosh says two things here. The Rosh says, number one, the cups of wine and the matzah and the afikomen have to be consumed while reclining. You fail to recline, you got to do it again. Number one. Number two, says the Rosh, there's no reason to recline during the main meal. Shulchan Aruch, you finally get to the meal. You didn't make do on the parsley and the potatoes, even if you stuffed your face, which you shouldn't. It becomes a question of a baracha achrona. You ate too much karpas. You tried to buy your time. You're still starving. You're stuffing your face at the Shulchan Aruch. And Says the Rush, there's no reason to recline. The reclining is specific to the cups. Reclining is specific to the matzah afikomen. There's no inyan, there's no idea to recline during the meal. The Rambam disagrees on both fronts. Says the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz and Matzah Perek Zayin, K'shesoid adam balayla hazeh tzarech lecho v'lishtos v'hu meisev derech cheirus. When a person eats the meal that night, you need to eat and drink while reclining. This is a demonstration of freedom. It's how we show that we are royalty. It's the way we demonstrate. What are the Rambam and the Rush disagreeing about? Says Ravelvo Soloveitchik, says the Brisker Rav, the following, here in his commentary on the Rambam. Says the Brisker Rav, they're debating what is the nature of the mitzvah of Haseba, what is the nature of the mitzvah to recline? Is the mitzvah to recline a further fulfillment, an enhanced way you fulfill the mitzvah of the drinking the wine or eating the matzah? Or is there an independent but parallel mitzvah called reclining? Is it part and parcel of the inherent mitzvah? It's the enhanced way we do it? Or no, there's a mitzvah of wine, there's a mitzvah of matzah, and parallel to that, there is an additional mitzvah called haseba. One has to do it with reclining. What's the practical difference between these two opinions? These two nafkaminas. Number one, what if you forget? According to the Rush, clearly, haseba is not an independent mitzvah. It is part of the mitzvah of how we drink the cup. It is part of the mitzvah of how we eat the matzah. Therefore, if you fail to drink or eat while reclining, you fail to do the mitzvah the way it was meant to be done. You have to do it again. What about during the meal? Should you recline? For the Rush, why would you recline? The mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of wine require you to recline. Stuffed cabbage doesn't require you to recline. The chicken soup doesn't. Matzah ball doesn't require you to recline. And therefore, there's no reason. The Rambam disagrees on both fronts. For the Rambam, the mitzvah of Haseba is not part and parcel of the mitzvah. It is an independent and parallel mitzvah. Therefore, if you drank the wine or you ate the matzah and you failed to recline, okay, you failed to recline for the mitzvah. But it doesn't at all compromise the integrity of the mitzvah of the wine or the mitzvah of the matzah. Parallel, you failed on the mitzvah of reclining, but that's not part of the mitzvah of matzah or wine. And therefore the Rambam says, one should recline during the meal as well. Why should one recline during the meal? Because for the Rambam, it's derech eres. It has nothing to do with matzah or wine per se. You do it during the matzah and wine, but it's not part of the mitzvah of the matzah and wine. It is a corollary, ancillary mitzvah, and therefore you should do it throughout the meal. How do we paskin on both of these questions, this chakira of the Brisker Rav? Is the mitzvah of Haseba a din in matzah and a din in the Dalet Kosos? Or is the mitzvah of Haseba an independent, parallel din, not part of those mitzvahs proper? So Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov Ayin Beis, since source number 8, if you're following along, writes the following. This is the Siman he's talking about Haseba. You have to set your table. You should organize and set your table according to your capacity. If you have the ability to have fine china, if you have the ability to have beautiful silverware, if you can afford crystal, if you have a magnificent tablecloth, you should set your table kefi kocho. Beautify it. Royalty. Majesty. We're demonstrating our freedom this year. My friend Rav Sariel Malitsky, my friend who's a Rav in New Jersey, just today sent me this idea he shared with his community that perhaps he shared with Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he shared stories of several Gedolim who would put their favorite sefer, the Kelim Na'im, the beautiful objects that would beautify their table, were not the crystal or the china or the silver or the gold, but where they were the heirlooms. They were the most precious things. They were the svarim that they had authored or they had inherited that they wanted to adorn their table. And Rabbi Malitsky suggested this year, particularly for parents, grandparents who can't be with their children, grandchildren, the Kelim Na'im that should adorn our table should be perhaps the pictures of the people in our life that we love that we can't share the Seder with. Their picture, their project, their Dvar Torah, that should be the Kelim Na'im Kefi Kocho that should adorn. I thought it was such a beautiful thought, such a beautiful idea that we could bring around our table. So we set the table as a demonstration, and then we sit Beheseba. We demonstrate our royalty, our majesty, our freedom, our aristocracy by the very posture that we take. Shulchan Aruch says, Isha ein etzricha haseba elam kein yichashuva. That a woman is not obligated to recline unless, like some of your wives, she's an isha chashuva. That was a joke. V'chol anashim shalana mikrei chashuva, says the Ramah, who also was married to an Ashkenazi woman, that, you see, the Mechaber, who's Sephardi, he feels comfortable taking the risk of saying not every woman is Chashuv. But the Ramah, who was Ashkenazi like us, married to an Ashkenazi woman in Krakow in the 16th century, says, our women, they're all Chashuvos. Ach la nagu lahasev kisamcha adivri Ravya. However, our women today rely on the opinion of the Ravya that since this is not our practice to recline generally, then it's not necessary now either. Good. Let's skip down to Halacha Zayin. The Mechaber is paskening like whom? If you ate the matzah, you drank the four cups, and you failed to recline, you have to go back and do it again. You were not fulfilled the mitzvah, and you got to do it again. Whom is he paskening like? You're all muted. He's paskening like the Rush. The Rush said it's a part and parcel, it's inherent, it's a din in the mitzvah itself. If you forgot to recline, that's like saying I forgot to eat the right amount of matzah. I forgot to drink the right amount of wine. I forgot to do it within the requisite measure of time. That's inherent to the definition of the mitzvah. So is Heseba, according to the Rush. And the Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, says like the Rush, that you need to remember to recline. If you failed to do so, you'd have to go back again. The Rama adds, "V'yish omrim, the v'zman hazed de'in derech lahasav k'day ravya l'smoch ala b'diyavid yatzav l'aseba." You could rely on the ravya that if you forgot today that you fulfilled the mitzvah, you don't have to go back again. V'nirali, but he says maybe there's a difference. If it's the third cup or the fourth cup, you don't have to go back. But if it's the first two cups, you do have to go back. And similarly with the matzah, you should go back. And now he throws in ulechatchila yasev kol ha'seuda. Now he says the Rama, and you should make the effort to recline during the chicken soup and matzah ball, during the stuffed cabbage, during the kigel, throughout the meal. You should try to eat while reclining as well. Who is that like? The Rambam. Is the Rama a contradiction? Is it the Rush or the Rambam? Maybe it's both. Maybe he sees Tzvei Dinim. Maybe there are two components or two aspects to this mitzvah of Heseba. There's the component within the mitzvah of Dalad Kosos and Matzah. The definition, part and parcel, inherent in the mitzvah is how you, your posture while consuming it. And then there is a second mitzvah of Heseba, which is Derecheres Pirsimane Zecharnes, the notion that we are trying to demonstrate our freedom in the way that we recline. The Aruch HaShulchan, Source 10 of Yechiel Michal Epstein says, a different reason for reclining. Today we don't have to. But we don't follow this Ravya. Aruch HaShulchan makes a fantastic point. He says, what do you mean we don't recline while we eat today, therefore we don't have to do it? The whole Seder night is filled with activities we don't normally do. And why do we do all these unusual things Seder night? Because we're trying to invoke the curiosity of our children in order for them to ask, why is tonight different than all other nights? So if normally I eat while sitting up like a mensch, dafka tonight I should recline even though it's unusual, because that is another way of involving the children and getting them to ask. Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav's nephew, the Rav, had a particular kapeda, and with this we end the halachic section, and I want to move over to what I think is a very deep meaning, a very beautiful symbolism that I hope resonates for you as it does for me this particular year. And the Rav said the following: Heseba perusha hishetzad smolo shel adam tzarach lishayin al mita al kol davar. How do you recline? Now we're doing show and tell here because we're on Zoom. How do you recline? So can I just go like this? I'm leaning to my left. I don't know how it appears on your screen, but can I lean into thin air? Is that called reclining? How do you do the mitzvah of Heseba? Just by leaning? So Rabbi Soloveitchik had a certain stringency, and he said no. The definition of reclining is to recline on an object. If you're not reclining onto something, then you're not reclining. So Rabbi Soloveitchik had a custom, if you can see. He would take his chair and turn it sideways, and therefore when he would drink or eat the matzah, he would recline onto the chair. So the whole meal he sat with the chair normally. He had a pillow. But when it came time for the kosos, when it came time for the matzah, when it came time for the afikomen, he would turn his chair and he would recline, he would lean. Because he said, if you're not leaning on something, that's not called leaning. Why? Where did he get this from? So first of all, he himself in his Agadah Siach HaGrid here brings a raya, brings a proof. Why? He says, the Amoraim, the Gemara tells the story of the Amoraim, our early great Talmidei Chachamim. They wouldn't recline on a couch or a bed. They would lean on the person sitting next to them. So they would lie on the lap. They would lie on the shoulder. They would lean against the person next to them like a series of dominoes around the Seder table. Everyone was reclining on the person next to them. And says Rabbi Soloveitchik, why did the Gemara have to tell us this practice of the Amoraim, that they were leaning specifically on someone? Elamai, what do you see from here? That only leaning onto something is called leaning. If you're not leaning on something, that's not called leaning. We see this in halacha elsewhere. The Rav doesn't quote this, but it seems to me you see this elsewhere as well. The halacha is Shmona Esrei. You're supposed to stay standing up. You can't be leaning. What's the definition of leaning? Sometimes you'll see a person with the shtender in front of them. So are you leaning on the shtender? Has that invalidated? Are you saying you're Shmona Esrei in a non-optimal way? The halachic definition of leaning is, if you remove the thing you're leaning on, you fall flat on your face, that's called leaning. But if you could find your balance, if you're balanced, even while you're touching on leaning on that shtender, that's not called leaning. So you see again that the halachic definition of leaning is on an object. It's leaning onto something. Why is this significant? So I want to share with you the following thought. I didn't see it inside. It's original. Doesn't mean it's right. Very possibly isn't. But I find it meaningful and I hope you do as well. Perhaps the mitzvah of Haseba, is not just about Pir Simonis publicizing the miracle the way he took us out. And it's not just commemorating the way he took us out. And it's not just demonstrating freedom and royalty and majesty. And we're not just trying to involve the children by doing something unusual that evokes their curiosity. All the reasons I just mentioned were the ones we saw so far. Perhaps the idea of leaning is the notion that to really be free, you need to know that you're not independent, that you need to lean on others, and most of all, we need to lean on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the definition of freedom, the definition of emancipation, the definition of liberty, is not the arrogance of thinking I'm independent, I'm all capable. It's not the inflated sense of an ego, the sa'or shebi'isa, the yeast that's demonstrated that the symbol of chametz is the notion of an inflated ego, my arrogance. I don't need anyone. I'm not vulnerable. I'm not susceptible. I don't have to follow the rules. Tragically, we're hearing stories of from a Yidden who think that they're above the law and above the rules. And it's a misplaced sense of emunah and bitachon. It's counterfeit. It's inauthentic. It's fake. And it's horrible. It's going to bring anti-Semitism. And they make our work to make a Kiddush Hashem that much harder. It's arrogant. When you're still holding a minyan, if you're still going to shul or a beis medrash, you're not worshiping Hashem. You're worshiping yourself. He wants you to stay home. He wants us to be safe. He wants us to be able to protect and take care of others. Those who think they're going for Him are not worshiping Him. They're worshiping themselves. They think they're above the rules and the law. They think they can go out and they're not vulnerable. To be free is not to be driven by our ego and our arrogance and think that we're in control and we can micromanage our environment. To really be free is to realize that not only during coronavirus and not only during this pandemic, but each and every day of our lives, we're leaning on the Ribono Shel Olam. Each and every day, we are leaning on Hashem. We're relying on Hashem. He is holding us up. He's supporting us. If He were to withdraw, if He were to pull away, we'd fall flat on our face. We're leaning on Him. And perhaps that's an additional kavana for all of us to have this year during our Seder. That when we drink those Dalet Kosas and when we eat that matzah, when we lean and recline on an object, we maybe should be thinking that we are leaning and reclining on Hashem. That we realize that I don't go at it alone. I am not the arbiter of my success. I don't take credit for my accomplishments. I'm not to blame entirely for that which goes wrong. There is a Hashem who runs the world. There is divine providence. He is the creator. I submit to Him. I defer to Him. I concede to Him. I rely on Him. I need Him. I depend on Him. And I am nothing without Him. I am constantly and regularly, I am consistently leaning on Him. And if I were to stop leaning on Him or if He were to pull away, I would fall flat on my face. Now, this admission, this concession that I need to lean on Him, that I'm not independent, does that make me enslaved? Does that make me free? I argue that is in fact the essence of our freedom. You see, when we think that we're in control, when we think we can micromanage our environment, when we think we can create the outcomes we want, we are enslaved to the pressure we've put on ourselves. We're enslaved to that false belief. We're enslaved to a pressure that nobody can withstand. But the moment we let go and let God, The moment that we realize he's in charge and he's in control, we set ourselves free. We liberate ourselves. And so with the Brisker Rav's halachic chakira and how Aseba works, and the Aruch HaShulchan's insight, we should do it to get our children to ask. And with the Medrash's notion of Pirsum HaNes, perhaps an additional kavana and a kavana, a intention that's appropriate for this year in particular, is the notion of how much we rely and depend on Him. And that does not take away from our freedom. That is the very expression of freedom. And with this, I want to move over to the second source I want to share with you. It's an amazing sefer. I've gotten very, very into Rav Avram Shor Shlita, Halekach V'Halibov, a great Rav, a Ger Chassid in Brooklyn, New York. You should be safe and well. He has a series of Sfarim he produces and publishes at an incredible rate. If you subscribe to his email, you get every week several pieces he's putting out a week. Beautiful, beautiful pieces, deep, deep Torah. And his Sfarim are all called Halekach V'Halibov. And this is his volume, Halekach V'Halibov on Chag HaPesach. You have it in the WhatsApp group. I sent you the PDF. You can follow along or you can just listen. But I think he says so beautifully, expanding on the theme, not in the context of Haseba, but expanding on this theme that we're mentioning. Manashtana halayla zemi kol alei shabachol alei lezano achlam chametze matzah, v'halayla zeh kula matzah. The Manashtana, of course, begins with the question, on all of the nights we eat chametz and matzah, we eat both leavened and unleavened bread, but halayla zeh kula matzah. Person wants a pita, person wants a baguette, person wants a piece of bread, and it's all year long. You can enjoy that, or you can enjoy a piece of matzah. Pesach night, all you have is a piece of matzah. By the way, elsewhere in the Sagada, I love it. He says that, I forgot where he quotes it from, that we don't read it Manashtana Halayla Hazeh, but the more appropriate way to read it is Manashtana Al Yidei Halayla Hazeh. Not why is tonight different, but what will be different in my life because of tonight? How will I transform myself? What will I experience at my Seder? What will this freedom be? How will I elevate? How will I not only recite Kiddush, how will I fulfill Kaddish? How can I sanctify myself? How can I be different? But he continues, Babir Sheilazu Kosvo HaKadmonim, quotes the Chassam Sofer, in the name of the Yabar Benel, She'akavani ala adam amakrev korban toda al neshaya etzel mevi imo chametz umatza. We just had in yesterday's parsha, Parsha's Tzav, that a person who brings a korban toda, person who brings a sacrifice in the temple, when they have achieved, when they've experienced something for which they need to be grateful, the korban that they bring, it's a korban shlamim, and it is accompanied by 40 loaves. 30 of them are the regular matzah, 10 of them are made out of chametz. V'ari'in in korban pesach hu b'bechinas korban toda. The Vilna Gaon was of the opinion that the korban pesach was a form of a korban toda. It was a thanksgiving offering. With a korban toda, Yisra B'Gemar, the Gemar Brachas tells us, Arba Tzrichin, Lohodos Yordei Hayam, Holchi Mid Barrios, Mishaya Chola, Venesrapi, Mishaya Chavash, Bebeis Asurim. There are four categories of people who needed to bring the korban toda. Namely, if you successfully crossed the sea, if you successfully traversed the desert, if you were sick and you recovered, if you were imprisoned and you were released. All four of these people are obligated in the korban toda. They would bring the sacrifice. And today, those are the four categories of people who recite the Birchas HaGoma. The Torah brings, by the way, if you want a handy way to remember it, there's an acronym. V'chol HaChayim Yaducha Sela. We say at the end of our Amidah, V'chol HaChayim Yaducha Sela. Chayim Ches Yud Yud Mem is an acronym for these four categories of people. They're the ones of Chol HaChayim Yoducha. They have to bring the korban toda. Hari b'yetzias Mitzrayim avdu b'nei Yisrael avru kol elu advarim shetzrichim lahodos aleihem. When we left Egypt, we met each one of these four categories. Etzem ha'yetziah ha'yetziah mibeis ha'asurim. We were imprisoned and we were released. And when we left, we crossed the sea. We traversed the desert. When we got to Matan Torah, which was the end, we were healed from all of our illnesses. And that's why we bring the Korban Pesach. It is in fact a Korban Toda. The Gros says the Korban Pesach is a Korban Toda for the miracles Hashem did. So therefore, Hayatzarch Lavim Korban Pesach Chametz Kemoshe Mevi B'Korban Toda. So why is it that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, if in fact it's a Korban Toda, why do we only bring matzah? Where is the chametz? Normally, a sacrifice of Thanksgiving, one brings both with chametz and matzah. If the Korban Pesach is a Korban Toda, where's the chametz? Why don't we have chametz? He quotes the pasuk we say in Hallel, Lolanu Hashem Lolanu ki im l'shimcha ten kavod. David HaMelech Omer ki ein hu mevakesh klal l'tovas atzmo. David does not want anything for himself. Rather, ein zeh amacham in shalom, akol hu rak l'shimcha, bavur kvod shema agadot yisbarach. David HaMelech says, I don't want longevity. I don't want material success. I don't want health, safety, security, prosperity. I don't want any of that for myself. You know why, Hashem, I'm asking for it? I'm asking for it, ki im l'shimcha tein kavod. Because how can I promote and honor your name? How can I improve and repair your world if I'm not healthy, if I'm not safe and secure, if I don't have prosperity? Lama yumra ba'amim sheish b'zeh inyan shal chilul Hashem. The whole capital is telling us that there's a notion of chilul Hashem. U'memele kol bakasha so'ina b'shvil atzma. V'zeh avodas hodin lagil madriga al yonis shivakesh rak avor ha'shchina kedosha v'lo liyos ha'bakasha shal avor atzma klal. This is the level that we all aspire to. What it means to be a loyal servant of Hashem is that I don't have an identity independent of Hashem. I'm so loyal to Him. My entire identity, my character, who I am, is entirely wrapped up. It's entirely intertwined in my relationship of being in service to Hashem. It's my core identity. It's who I am. So when I ask for these things, Hashem, I'm not asking it from me. I'm on Team Hashem. And as a member of Team Hashem, I can't advance the team's interests unless you provide those things. That's how we should approach our tefillah. Hashem, help me be well and the people around us be well. Help us all be well. Why? Help us draw income, help the economy recover, not so we can have things and not so we can enjoy pleasure, but so that we can make the difference we're meant to make. We can fulfill the mission we're meant to fulfill in your world. So when a person undergoes a miracle and they are able to go from a place of grave danger to a place of prosperity, what should be the source, the driver of your joy? Please God, my cousin, Yocheved's cousin, for whom we said the Tehillim earlier. Please God, all those who are ill. Someone put in the comments, another person who we need to daven for. All those who are ill. When they will recover, not if, but please God, when they will recover. And they'll make a Sudas Hadah, and we'll all attend, and we'll be so filled with joy. What will be the driver of our joy from recovering from the illness? Oh, geschmack. Now I can get back to Mahjong, tennis, my rounds of golf. Geschmack. I can get back to, football. I know football season's over. Statistics, whatever they call that. What's the geschmack? There's nothing wrong with enjoying any of those things. Nothing wrong with enjoying any of those things. But that's not why we crave our health. If this pandemic is teaching us anything, we don't crave our health so we can enjoy one more fine bottle of wine. We crave our health so we can enjoy one more hour with our family. We can fulfill our mission for one more hour. We can make a difference for one more day. We're desperate for our good health and the health of those around us, not for ourselves, but Hashem, to serve you. Now he says something unbelievable. It's going to blow your mind, and he's going to expand on this more in a moment when you bear with me and with Rav Avram Shor. It's going to blow your mind. He says, you know what the driver is of your joy? You came and you recovered from an illness. You made it on the trip across the sea. You made it across the desert. You got released from prison. You can make a difference. You know whom you're happy for? Not just for yourself because you could serve Hashem, but Hashem was such pain with you while you were in pain. We're so happy that Hashem doesn't have to be in pain anymore. I and no one we know and no one alive can tell you why Hashem has visited this pandemic on the world, the entire globe. I spoke last night at the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha that the image that really rocked me, it brought me to tears, was when I saw this image of the globe, an actual picture from satellite of the globe, and superimposed on it was a mask covering the whole earth. Because literally 3-4 weeks ago, who had heard of this place in China? Who knew people who were affected? Fast forward a short time, and now there's not a human being on earth who is not directly or indirectly affected by this pandemic. It is absolutely crippling humanity. It is absolutely... So we might sit and we might wonder, where is Hashem? And why would Hashem do this? And those are difficult questions, maybe even legitimate questions, but questions that we certainly have no answers to. We don't know. But I will tell you this, that while Hashem has visited this pandemic with all of its challenges, health challenge, financial challenges, other challenges, Imo Anochi Betzara, He is with us in pain. He's suffering. He's struggling. He's feeling an empathy to us. When Hashem appeared to Moshe, He did so out of a thorn bush. Rashi says, why didn't He appear to Moshe out of a rose bush? bougainvillea out of daisies. Why didn't he appear? That's the whole list of flowers I know. Why didn't he appear to Hashem out of some other beautiful flower? Why out of this lonely thorn bush? Rashi quotes, because imo anochi b'tzara. Hashem says, you're in pain, you're suffering. I'm right down there with you. I'm sitting next to you. Imo anochi b'tzara. I feel the pain together with you. And so when we recover from a painful, threatening situation, the Sudas Hoda we experience, that incredible joy, is not for ourselves. It's that Hashem no longer has to feel that pain. V'nei chametz mora anochi osal pu'ulas ha'adam. Chametz is all about anochi. It's the sense of ego, the id, the I. U'matza mora apshitus. Matza is simplicity. Al adavir shikmosh ha'kadosh baruch hu'aso b'li pu'ulas ha'adam. Chassidus Rebbeim, Chassidus Sfarim emphasize this point very often. The contrast of chametz and matzah. One contrast between the two is time. They're made of the same ingredients. They're both made of flour and water. But chametz is when you allow time, laziness, procrastination, lethargy. When you're a lazy, good-for-nothing, oisvarv bum, you get chametz. When you act with alacrity and zeal and enthusiasm, you get matzah. But there's a second fundamental difference between them. Namely, in order to get to chametz, you need to introduce another ingredient. You have to introduce yeast, and it needs to be manipulated, and you need to turn it into a chametz. Matzah is just the way Hashem makes it. It's simple. It's flour, water, the oven. It's the way Hashem made it. Hashem did not use an ambassador, an agent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not involve anyone else when he took us out of Egypt. He did it directly. He did it himself. It was simplified. It was direct. So why is Pesach different than the Korban Toda, says Rav Shor? He says, when it comes to the Korban Toda, yeah, I made it across the sea. Guess who else I have to thank? The pilot. I made it across the desert. Guess who else I have to thank? Whoever invented my caravan, my car, my trailer. So I got back, I was healed from my illness. Guess who else I have to thank? The doctor, the pharmaceutical company that invented the medicine, the hospital. So I was released from prison. You know who else I have to thank? The person who ransomed me or rescued me or got me out. Because when it comes to the normally when we're saved, so 3/4 of that salvation is the hand of Hashem. And 1/4 we can't help but feel there was the human initiative. There was the human effort that was part of it as well. That's why 3/4 is matzah and 1/4 is chametz. The chametz represents the influence, the impact of man. The matzah is the simplicity, the direct interference, the direct involvement of Hashem. So when it comes to a normal Korban Todah, I think that people were involved in my salvation, not just Hashem. So there's the presence of chametz. Ulam bePesach yachol adam lios lagamer l'shem shemayim v'lo lariv atzv b'zeklal. But when it comes to Pesach, there is no human initiative. We were hiding in our houses. It was 100% Hashem. K'moshe Amar Ha'imre Emes, like the Ger Rebbe Zchus Yergin Alinu says, Beperish HaMishnah, the Mishnah in Zvachim says the following, Kol HaZvachim Shenizbuchu Shelo L'Shman K'sherim. Every sacrifice that was offered, and you didn't do so for the intent of that sacrifice, it's kosher. El Shelo Olu L'Baal M'Shem Chova. However, the person who was obligated to bring that sacrifice, the lack of L'Shma, the lack of intent when you thought about the purpose of the sacrifice doesn't invalidate the sacrifice. However, it also doesn't count as if you discharged your obligation to bring it. So the sacrifice is valid, but you still have to bring another one and do it with the right intent. Chutz, there are two exceptions, Pesach and Chatas. A Korban Pesach that you didn't bring Lishma, you don't have to bring another. Ki Pesach hu aschala b'avodas Hashem. The opposite. The Korban Pesach is all Hashem. This Wednesday night, my friends, this Thursday, Friday, this Pesach that's coming, we are leaning exclusively on Hashem. That's the connection to Heseba. There is no human initiative. There's no human interaction. There's no human effort. Yes, right now we're taking our precautions. We're doing everything we can, but we are essentially hiding in our homes. It is up to Hashem. We lean on Him. We rely on Him. We depend on Him. We are only as good as Hashem. As Avram wrote to me privately in the chat, Gam ki elech begeitz almavas lo ira raki ata imadi. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have nothing to fear. Ki ata imadi, you're with me wherever I am, wherever I go, however dark, however bleak, however feeling hopeless the moment is. Lo ira raki ata imadi, I will never fear. Ki ata imadi, you're always with me. So normally when I feel gratitude for a miracle, three quarters I feel I defer, I submit to Hashem. One quarter I can't help but feel I or some other human had something to do with it. But when it comes to Pesach, this time of the year, Heseba, I'm leaning exclusively on Him. On an object, I lean on Him. If He were to pull away, I'd fall flat on my face. If He withdrew and I couldn't lean on Him, I could never survive, I could never endure, I'd never be here. And so the Korban Pesach is kulo matzah. There is no presence of chametz. There is no human initiative, human effort, human interaction. It's all a sense of reliance and dependence. It's all haseba. It's all with an attitude of leaning on Him. V'yesh levar yoser dechsiv. And with this we can further explain, Pesach hu l'Hashem, v'dorshu chazab mechil to Pesach hu l'Hashem, she'ekom ma'asa l'shem shemayim. Ubir dvar vasvasemes, the hilig ger rebbe, shekol asimcha bela pesachu agulas ashchina hakadosha. V'lo abnei Yisrael sheyatsu. This is what I told you was going to blow your mind. You ready? It's good you're all sitting down for this incredible svasemes. Thank you, Kaskel, for the head shake. You ready what he says? You know what the geula we're experiencing Pesach night? The geula, the redemption, the freedom, is not our freedom, but rather we're celebrating that Hashem went from being kiviyachol in bondage. That God went because He was feeling empathy for us, because He was feeling sympathy for us, because He was right beside us. Our gratitude is driven not by our newfound freedom, but by God no longer being held back. Kigulas klal Yisrael lo haisa b'shlemes b'leil Pesach k'disa b'zar kadosh. Rak b'leil Pesach niskayim v'anochi elcha d'chsev anochi yerid imoch mitzrayim v'yazel yerid haisa yitzir b'chatzos l'leil Pesach. U'mitzal advika sheyesh l'bnei Yisrael b'kadosh baruch hu az heim yotzu b'yachar imashchina kadosha. He says the following. Did you ever bother you? L'leil Pesach, we're going to have the Seder Pesach night. We weren't free yet. We didn't leave till the morning. So why are we celebrating freedom when we weren't yet free? We're celebrating our freedom when we were still in hiding. L'yatzu ish mi Pesach beso. A person wasn't allowed to leave their house. I'm coming out, please God, tomorrow. I just combined all my Pesach drushes. I know you'll miss my drushes over Pesach, so to give you something to read, put them all together and name the piece. Ki l'yatzu ish mi Pesach beso. We're not allowed to leave our homes. This isn't the first time we experience Pesach where we're not allowed to leave our homes. So we couldn't leave our homes. Doesn't it strike you as bizarre? We mark and celebrate our freedom corresponding to a point and a period we weren't yet free. Why? Says the Sfasemis, because it's not about our freedom. You know who was free? Who was roaming Mitzrayim, striking the firstborn? Who was visiting every Egyptian home? Whose existence became undeniable? Who made the headlines across every news station, every newspaper? The internet was blowing up that there's a God in this world, and that He controls the universe, and that He has providence, and that He is pulling the strings. V'zeh kavan es hemshech apostel v'anochi elecha gam alei. Gam alei ha'inu b'yachar mashchini yatzanu. We went up with God. He went up first. He was freed first. In Mitzrayim, when we were in servitude 210 years, Hashem allowed Himself to be imprisoned with us. Paro says, anochi lo yadati, there's a God I don't know. I never heard of Him. I never met Him. What God? We're God. I'm God. Paro worshipped himself. He worshipped the Nile. God was imprisoned, kiviyachol, with us. He went free first. He went free, and we marked the freedom not by when we went free. We marked the night of freedom based on when He was set free. And we went up together with Him. Gam. We were the afterthought. We were the end. Not we went free, oh, and we have a nice idea, nice to our Torah, Hashem went free with us. No, He went free. He became publicized. He went viral in a good way. And then we, Vigam, and we with Him. V'zeh anirmas b'divrei ha-mechilta shiu kamas l'shem shemayim shana mitzal atzmenu liyatzanu adayin l'gu'ula shleimu l'fizeh novim b'bir shelas ha-rasha. And now you can understand, friends, listen closely. I'm giving you geshmak stuff at your Seder table. Tomorrow night, 8:30, we're doing how to lead a Seder. Maybe we'll mention this again, but we'll give you new stuff. Svasemis writes, the Rosha asks, Maha avodah hazoz lachem. And the Rasha says, what is all this work to you? Ma avad ozos lachem. Lachem velo lo. The Rasha says, what's this all about? All this avoda, all this work. What is all this for you? And because he says, lachem, you, and not himself, we smack him in the face. We knock out his teeth. Says the Sfas Emes, Rav Biderman quotes a beautiful insight. He says, you know who the Rasha is? Why would the Rasha at the Seder say, Mahava dazos lachem? The Rasha really is bothered 4 cups of Glenn Galish's fine wine? The biggest Rasha is going to say, ooh, what a great night. Why can't we do this more often? What is he going to say? What's this all about? So Rav Biderman says, Rav Melech says, when does the Rasha ask Mahava dazos lachem? Not the Seder night. When he hears it kvetching and complaining about the cleaning and the preparing and the cost of the matzah and how much work has to go in, when he hears all the kvetching and crying and complaining and moaning and growing, that's when he turns and he says, Ma avadozos lachem. What is this Judaism? It's so geferlich to be a yid. You're miserable, you're complaining, you're crying. I'm out of here. I don't want any part of it. Pesach preparations have to be done with a geschmack. It's geschmack to be a yid. We love cleaning. I love chopping charosis. I love grinding the maror. I love setting the table. I love searching and destroying the chametz in my home and in my life. We don't want anyone to have excuse to ask ma avodazos lachem because of anything they saw from us. Says the Sfas Emes, thank you to Stephen who put the link in the chat for tomorrow night's How to Lead a Seder. Sfas Emes says, v'zeh aremes b'sheilos ha-rosh ma avodazos lachem me'achar she'en ha-gula b'shlemes mitzadeinu v'lachein kofar be'ikar. See, the Rosh is smart. And the Rosh sits there that night and he says, what's this whole Seder night? You hadn't left Egypt yet. What are you celebrating? What are you marking? What are you drinking to? At this point in the story, you were still enslaved. You were still in Egypt. What is this whole night? What is theatrical experience all about? You weren't yet free. And that's why he say, by asking that, kofar b'ikar, he's a kofar, because he's denying the one who was free. Who was free already? Hashem. Hashem's name had gone viral. Hashem's impact was felt everywhere. Hashem wasn't holding back anymore. The world came to know that there was a God, not just a God who created the world, but a God who interacts and intervenes with the world, a God who runs the world. And if we are in denial of the fact that God runs the world, kofar b'ikar, if we don't see Pesach not only as celebrating our freedom, but even more primarily celebrating the freedom of Hashem, then we're a kafir b'ikar, we're a heretic. Mavur b'dvarav ki ha-rasha ino rashim davar l'smoach lo b'la Pesach te'ina b'madreg yishach l'smoach b'tzad yitzia shechina. So the Rasha sits at the Seder and he says, I have no reason to be happy tonight. We didn't yet go free. What are we celebrating? Because he denies the celebration of the freedom of Hashem. V'ilu mitzad yitzias b'nei Yisrael ino ro'atam l'smoach. We're nothing, we're a gurnish, we're oisvars, we're bums. Pesach night, we're in the 49th level of Tumah. We have to climb out by counting Sfiras Omer, climb, till we get to Shavuos. The korban on Pesach is a barley korban, because we're an animal, and we eat animal food. The korban Shtei Alechem on Shavuos is made from wheat, because we've become mentioned, we've become men. Pesach, we're gornish, so the Rasha says, Ma'ava dozos lachem, you bunch of no good, low life, oisvars, you weren't even free and you're having this whole party? And we turn to him and we say, don't you see? The guest of honor at our party, the party is not for us. The party is for Kvod Shamayim. We're celebrating the world discovering there's a God. We're celebrating the world seeing His divine hand. We're celebrating the world turning to Him and dominating to Him, deferring to Him, submitting to Him, conceding to Him. That's what we're celebrating. He went free. He went viral. Yeah, we've got work to do. We're not really yet free for 49 days till we stand at Har Sinai. But Hashem is free that night. Imo Anochi Betzara, He had been restricted and confined, imprisoned with us. And now He's free. And that taka is worth celebrating. The truth of it is the Rasha understood that God was with us, even in the dark, bleak moments. That God is not even with us in those moments, He is especially with us in those moments. He is accessible to us in those moments. Then the Rasha would be driven and moved to make changes in his life. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up on us. He never abandons us. He never, ever, ever gives up on us. wherever we are, however far we've fallen, however despondent or hopeless we have become, whatever is happening in our world, gam b'sheol tachtis HaKadosh Baruch Hu imo, ve'ena menatek ha'kesher imo kedi sheyeh b'yecholos lashuv l'Hashem. He ties that string between the two of us. However far we've fallen, He's holding on to us, wherever we are and whatever we're going through. Kadosh Baruch Hu, can you imagine His pain? His shul is empty. You know what it was last night, giving the Shabbos HaGadol drasha, and looking out at empty chairs, a huge sanctuary of empty chairs, and hearing my own echo? Do you know how much pain I was in? And my pain pales in comparison to the Ribono Shel Olam. Those doing the Daf Yomi, and my wife pointed out the Hashkacha, that the cycle of Daf Yomi ended just in time for a new cycle of people to join. How many people are finding the stability, are finding strength during this hard time through at least attaching ourselves to that daf each day? A whole new world of people that have joined the daf just in time, the Hashkacha Pratis, the timing of the daf cycle and the daf calendar. It's unbelievable. So in Brachos, the Gemara talks about how Hashem sits and He waits for that minion to form, the 10th person, that a person who regularly comes to shul and isn't there, Hashem asks for them. We have all this imagery that the Gemara has about how much Hashem cherishes, how precious it is to Him that we are with Him. Can you imagine the pain He's in? The empty shul, the empty Beis Medrash? Can you imagine the pain He's in? He's not looking down smiling. He's not Chas V'Shalom some cruel dictator who's beating us down with some punitive measures. He's right here with us. He too feels so isolated. He too is suffering. Imo anochi b'tzara, but He never abandons us. He never walks away. V'atshuva shenemer b'torahu v'amartam zevapech zelu Hashem. So what's the answer we give the Rasha in the Torah? The next paragraph. The answer we give the Rasha is, v'amartam zevach pesachu l'Hashem. The Rasha who says there's no room for joy, there's no room for happiness. What are you talking about? Coronavirus is still spreading. The statistics, the data, the dashboard is still lighting up. The news is still horrific. The death notices are pouring in. The names for Tehillim are still growing. So what? What are we celebrating? What room is there for Simcha on this night? What we're celebrating is Hashem. Do you know there's more people praying in the world right now than maybe at any time in our lifetime? True, it's horrific. And true, it's crisis. But look at the opportunity. Someone forwarded me today, beautiful. And by the way, you know who's at the forefront of prayer, the most authentic prayer? Are the people fighting in the hospitals, the medical personnel, nurses, doctors, who when they begin their shift and they end their shift, they first join together to daven, to pray, before they go do their work. This is what it's taken to have a sense of unity across the world, across humanity, who are pouring out their heartfelt tefillahs to the Almighty. Of course there are still heretics. Of course there are atheists and agnostics. Of course there are cynics and scoffers. But they're few and far between. They're ashamed to show their face because right now faith has increased in the world. In the field we spoke last night, psychoneuroimmunology, the impact of faith on our immune system is not only something which is religious, it's something that literally can help us and can heal us. That even, and especially in this darkness and in this bleakness, in this crisis, is that opportunity. That Shem Shamayim is Gala Kodesh Baruch Hu Pesachu Lashem. Hashem has a Pesach. We're speaking about Hashem. We're talking about Hashem. Ha'amantam kan yadaber. Pasuk says, the Rebbe say, why do you have faith ki yadaber when you talk about God? Please God, with God's help, turning to God, davening to God. Od yosem izanemer b'shevach. Will take us out. When we attach ourselves to Him and His destiny, when we say, Hashem, if Your name is to be made great, we need to be healthy. We're on Your team, we're Your partners. So if You're to be free, we need to be free. If You're to be promoted, we need to be free to promote You. This is our work, my friends, and this is how we conclude. This is our job, Heseba, to not only fulfill the mitzvah to recline and lean, to demonstrate our freedom and our royalty, to evoke the question curiosity of our children, to publicize the miracle of the way that we were taken out, but also to lean, to realize that we are always in a state of leaning on Hashem. This is our avoda. This is our work. This is what we have to model for our family and for our friends and for our neighbors, that we are attaching ourselves to Hashem, not less than ever, more than ever. That we see Him not in a blurred sense, but with greater clarity than ever. Gam ale begamatria Pesach. Never give up and never despair and never stop leaning and reclining and trusting Him. He is supporting us. He's holding us up. To know our greatness and our significance. That all that we do brings Hashem a great sense of comfort and solace. He's with us in our pain, and we give Him that nachas. And the more we see Him and feel Him and believe Him and lean on Him and recline on Him and feel His love and support, the more He'll be there for us. And so, Yehi Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring back the world we knew, that we're not learning virtually. These are words we shouldn't know, learning virtually. We should be learning together in person, that we should be connecting, that we should be healthy and prosperous, that we should celebrate Simcha, the Pesach, b'chabura, as a unit, united, together, the way it was meant to be spent. But until that, then, this year, our Haseba, we will continue to lean on Hashem each and every day, whether it's Pesach, whether we're drinking the kosos, eating the matzah, eating that meal, or every day in our lives, we'll continue that sense of Haseba. We'll never stop leaning on Him.